DW.
In an extraordinary show of power and resistance against the elected government, more than a million people turned out for women's marches in all 50 US states and cities around the world on January 21st. One of the movement's leaders is Ai-Jen Poo, director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance.
So this march was really about sending a message that we, the people of the United States of America, refuse to allow for our democracy and our values to be undermined and undone by this administration. And what you saw was the most beautiful, vibrant, dynamic show of force today of just everyday people coming together to have their voices heard. It was the most beautiful expression of democracy.
But now that the protesters have put down their placards, taken off their pink hats, and ended their chants, the critical question is, what happens next? Or more concretely, how can the leaders channel the resolve and outrage of the protesters into action that produces political change? A goal that has eluded other popular movements, from Occupy Wall Street to Black Lives Matter. But Poo, who has been organizing female immigrant workers for over two decades, is hopeful the women's movement will be different.
I've never seen a moment like this, where so many people of all walks of life have decided to just take action and have chosen love and connection and a commitment to protecting this democracy. I've just never seen this level and scope and scale of activism. It's incredibly inspiring.
Still, the movement will need more than just inspiration. That's why immediately after the march in Washington ended, its leaders convened a four-hour pep rally and networking session they called Where Do We Go From Here? At the town hall-style event, representatives of 27 partner groups told marchers in 90-second pitches how they can get involved. What struck me was the vast array of issues the women's movement tries to be an umbrella for, from reproductive rights to mass incarceration to environmental activism. There was Poo's National Domestic Workers Alliance, a 10-year-old nonprofit advocating for domestic workers. Then there was the African American Policy Forum, a think tank focusing on racial justice and gender equality. And also reproductive healthcare and sex education provider Planned Parenthood.
We are human beings and a lot of things impact us.
That's civil rights activist Linda Sarsour, one of the co-chairs of the Women's March.
People who are fighting for immigration and immigrant rights can also fight for women's rights. You can also fight for racial justice. You can also fight for climate justice. You know, Affordable Care Act impacts me. I'm an immigrant woman. I'm also a Muslim. So there's a lot of different issues that impact me, and I want to organize on all those issues together.
Sarsour and the other leaders told me this intersectional approach to organizing was key to mobilize the masses. They also said that including various policy priorities was a necessity because women don't live single-issue lives. But it might be precisely this multitude of different agendas that could prove to be the biggest obstacle to sustaining the burgeoning movement.
My name is Jeb Ory. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Phone to Action. We work with more than 250 nonprofits, trade associations, and companies that really care about policies and look to mobilize people and really give people a voice so they can advocate for things that they care about.
Over the last 2 years, Ory's clients have run more than 15,000 campaigns on local, municipal, and international issues. In order for the women's movement to succeed, Ory says, its leaders need to distill what they're doing into a unifying, cohesive concept that's easy for people to connect with.
So when you look at some of the most successful movements in recent history, certainly the Tea Party movement comes to mind on the conservative side, and then something like Occupy comes to mind on the progressive side, as well as Black Lives Matter. But the Tea Party movement was able to distill what they cared about and what they stood for into very simple concepts: limited government, lower taxes. Whereas the Occupy movement was a very large concept that had a lot of people involved and a lot of competing concepts in the coalition. So they couldn't distill what they cared about into one thing. As a result, that movement has fractured and died, and the Tea Party movement begat Donald Trump.
Leaders of the movement have echoed this concern, admitting that including a broad spectrum of issues and organizations could dilute their message. Yet the female activists believe that the common thread that spurred the movement, revulsion and contempt for the man who's now president, is powerful enough to sustain it, even after Trump is gone.
I think once the common enemy 4 years later is voted out, people would have seen the effects of organizing, the effects of bringing people together, of uniting white people, black people, Asians, Mexicans. And Donald Trump and his administration have woken up the people. Many of us have already been organizing. I've been fighting for Muslim communities since 9/11.
So what can you do to not let the impetus die off? Call your elected officials and lawmakers, said actress and comedian Sarah Jones at the town hall following the march.
Emailing and petitions do not have as much direct impact as making a phone call. They really do feel the impact of those phone calls rolling into their offices. The point is to get that accurate phone number, put it on, you know, into your phone, call daily about whatever actions it is that we're protesting until they know that we're not going to let them just get away with any kind of behavior. We're watching them and we're going to hold them accountable.
Phone to Action's co-founder Jeb Ory agrees, saying that mobilizing a large number of people to call, tweet at, or Facebook message officials around a specific issue at a specific time has proven to be effective for his clients.
All it takes is between 1 and 30 social media posts to get an office's attention. And you can tie up an entire office on the phone with a handful of phone calls in a single day.
Activist Ai-Jen Poo already has her eyes on the important 2018 midterm election, when almost 40 governorships, as well as a third of the 100 U.S. Senate seats, will be up for grabs.
And I want to see a laser focus on 2018, which is the next big political moment in this country. In 2018, you will see a wave of women voters get to the polls and elect people who share their values. And you're also going to see a massive wave of women running for office at every level of government.
For DW, this is Benjamin Batke in Washington, D.C.
This report was brought to you by DW.